I appreciate being here this morning. Appreciate what the Lord has given us. And be honest with you, this right here had been on me for a little while. Wednesday night when we was here, I kept looking down there because I was sometimes feeling like Randy was just going to go ahead and scoot the microphone that way. But I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord, because without it, we ain't got nothing. And sometimes we might have to endure just a few things in our minds and in our heart. Because there's a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, I got to pray for myself, Gene, to not let things just distract me. Because it don't mean no harm a lot of times that people do. But some of this, I don't know, just like Cody was talking about this morning up here, about whenever the Lord tells you to do something or other and tells you when to do it and everything, there's a fearness that come, which I've always described this part. I said, doing something for the Lord is the most exciting fear you can ever have. The excitement comes because I get to do something. But then the fear comes as I got to do something. And I often think over, I don't know if anybody else does, there've been a few times I've thought maybe the Lord didn't know what he's doing. I ain't the first one to think it. I know Ananias thought it. Whenever he told him, go down there to Saul, and he said, well, hey, ain't you heard of this man? But if we'll just do what the Lord have us to do, it'll be okay. The kids started out there singing with, if you saved and you know it, clap your hands, stomp your feet, and say amen. But there's a portion in that it says, if you saved and you know it, you really ought to show it. You really ought to show that I'm saved. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're really truly born again in the Spirit of God, there's a difference between you and the world. And you know there's a difference. But what really needs to be seen and known is they need to know that there's a difference between you and them. And I just be honest with you, some of what God has us to bring today. Randy said something in the message Wednesday night before he really got started, because the service was going in the same direction of what the message came. And he said, we're all on the same page. And I was on that page, I ain't going to say before he was on it, but before we heard him bring it. And I told the Lord, I can't mention things like that now because he preached it Wednesday night. But the Lord often speaks back to you, and he'll tell me this, I don't remember asking you. He has never came and asked me my advice on anything, Kerry. He has never asked me what directions I think I ought to go in. The only thing he says is, go, and I'll go with you. Jonah had different plans than what God had. God had a message for him. He said, you go down and you tell Nineveh this. And Jonah says, I think I'll go this way. We heard it even in the songs. But after all said and done, and the And the whale vomited him back out. Guess who was standing on the shore whenever he got up there? God. And guess what he had? It says, and again, he told him to go. The message don't change. But I desire in his prayers that I might just do what God have me to do. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, we'll start with it. And I'm going to say this, I usually do, that if you ever hear the words us, me, the church, we, I'm included in every bit of it. There's a lady where we was at, she said to me one day, she said, Bruce, she said, when you preach, said, you make it sound personal. I said, it is. It is. I said, because what I preach is what I've been through. What I'm preaching is what I might be going through. And what I'm preaching, Brother Robert, I know I'm fixing to face a few things. And the message is that you hear, a lot of times, he's just giving it on the spot. But a lot of times, the preacher's already had to preach to get himself in a shape that is even able to even preach the message. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, it says, well, I'm going to back up one verse and we'll read from there. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they was fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. And that's what we feel like reading. And I just be honest with you, what's been really crossing our mind is laborers are few. Laborers are few. You know, there's a difference in somebody just showing up to work and somebody working. There's a difference. You might have a department that everybody brags about, but I'm going to tell you most time everybody in the department ain't pulling their weight. Everybody out there ain't laborers, but we need to be. Laboring is a necessity in our life. And you might say, well, what is it necessary for? For these little ones that you've just seen standing up here. You see, it ain't just the fact that's bringing them here and letting them come up here and sing. Laboring is out yonder. The work is outside these walls, Gene. People are seeing the work that you're doing. And I'm going to tell you this, that if you've been born again truly of the Spirit, you're not unemployed. You have got a job to do, and you are totally responsible for the job that you're called to do. There was a church sign I drove by one day on my way to work. Drove by it many days. And every time, Jeff, I just had to keep looking at it. It said, if prayer is your job, would you still be employed? Because I'm going to tell you, that's where your instructions come from. Each day that I go to work, you know what they hand me, Randy? They hand me a piece of paper, and it has items that I'm responsible to get done. And at the end of the day, before I leave, I take that paper and I lay it back on their desk. And they can tell Gene what I've done and what I ain't done. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I can go through there and mark every one of them. But one day, they can walk out there, and they can say, why wasn't this done? It was marked off. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, I tell the Lord I do a lot of things that I hadn't done. I have not labored all the time. I'll say this. I asked prayer for my son William. But it ain't all the time that I'm laboring over it. Sometimes I'm just using the church. Now, If you got to bring something to church, I'm not discouraging you. But I'm going to tell you what, and I don't know why it just came to me, this right here. But judgment starts at the house of God, and that starts with me, Gene, with my own household, with my own son. I need to labor just a little bit harder and then ask somebody to help me. I'm going to tell you what, I'm a product of a laboring church. Yes, I am. I'm going to tell you what, we've testified and we've testified of our elders that go out there to pray, and we've been there and we heard them. I'm going to tell you the problem is we live off the past. When we're living in the present, and the labors that we had then ain't the same ones we got now. I told them around, but these little ones do not know them. Amen. They are looking for somebody to be laboring for them. Yeah. And that's me and you. They won't never be another Thurman Hightower. They will never be another Clint Lunsford. They will never be another Frank Owens or the Cochrans that started, and the Smiths that's gone, and the Davises that ain't here. They ain't here. We are the laborers that need to be laboring. Let me tell you this, Randy. Just a little bit before you came, you know, looking for a pastor. We all wasn't all together at the same spot, and that's okay. That's okay. We ain't always going to agree. But I'm going to tell you what, if we gather together enough in the name of the Lord, we'll come to an agreement. But amongst all that, it was said, men, I remember all our men praying out here. So that's what I'm going to do. Before service, you remember, Jeff? Yes. We'd go out there, stand right out there on the concrete. The first Sunday we did, there's about 16. The next Sunday we did, there's about 20. 22. The Lord sent the answer. Brother Randy came. That 22 went back to 18. Went back down to 16, to 12. You know what meets down there now? Four. Now, don't get me wrong. They ain't the only ones laboring. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying soon we forget. Soon we forget laboring. What are we just giving up to keep from laboring? Laboring costs you. It does. Laboring costs you. You know what it costs you? It costs you whenever you're laboring for the Lord. It costs you some sleepless nights. I remember the very first revival that I ever helped in. And you pray into God. You get sincere with God. You really want to see people saved. You labor. You cry. You beg God. And you go there, and just like Randy said about the service of the week, can't understand how somebody can just turn around and walk out. But you know, it's about on that Tuesday or Wednesday night of that revival when I come home, there ain't nobody moved, and it should have been, and my heart was breaking, and I had to go up there and talk to Daddy out in the backyard. I said, I just can't understand it. I said, it hurts so bad. I said, why can't they just see it? Why ain't I laboring like that anymore? Why? Because I see a bench here with a lot of my family in it, and I'm okay with that. If I'm okay with this, shame on me. Because I'm going to tell you, Clinton Lunsford always said this, it didn't matter if it was a poor man's son or a rich man's son. If both of them lost, they both going to hell. And we need to remember them outside of here. Amen. And they need to see a difference. Amen. between me and you. I mean, between us and them. We need to be laborers for God. Laborer is a person who does a job which involves a lot of hard physical work. Now, let's call us spiritual laborers. It is a person who does a job which involves a hard spiritual work. Now, you know why we don't labor a whole lot? Because we don't know a whole lot. We don't. Hosea says, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge." Lack of knowledge. You ever had somebody try to show you how to do a job, but they really didn't know how to do? Or I'll be honest with you, this is me one time. I'll just be honest with you. LC was our supervisor, and I was learning this new job on the computer. This lady was over there doing like this, and I was nodding my head, nodding my head, nodding my head, nodding my head. And LC spoke up and he said, "You stop right there." I said, "He ain't understanding a word you're saying." She looked up and says, "Is that true?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why are you nodding your head for it then?" I said, "Because I'm thinking I can figure it out." Well, guess what? There's some things you can't figure out. You can listen to Randy preach all day long. You can listen to Crafton Dover preach all day long. But I'm going to tell you what, until you get in the book, you won't know nothing. It comes from the book. It goes in your soul. And you got something, you can tote it around with you, and you can work. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't know nobody's physical circumstance. Ain't throwing off on nobody. But I'm going to tell you this. We got a lot of people that's trying to live off spiritual welfare. Yeah. It's what we got. Yeah. They're trying to ride the coattail of the church into heaven, and you can't do it. Yeah. The only way you can get close to God and you can help anybody is get in the Word. Yeah. You got to labor a little bit. Yeah. You got to work a little bit. Do we all get discouraged? Yes, we do. But I'm going to tell you what. Even David got discouraged. Even his own men wanting to stone him. But I'm going to tell you what he said. It said, David encouraged himself. I am so proud to have y'all in my life. I am so proud that y'all have encouraged me through all this time. But I am so proud most of all that I got something way down deep inside of my soul that I know exactly where I am. And if I can't find you, He knows where I am. He can send what I need, and He can put me right back on the labor force of doing work. Yes, there's a time in my life where I couldn't do the job. Y'all know my testimony. Got out for a couple of years. Didn't get in nothing, but just quit church. Yeah. People say, "Well, you backslid." No, I quit. Because when you ain't coming, I guarantee you, if I walked out over Express Global, I quit. I can't walk back over and say, "Hey, I had just backslid for 2 months and come back in there and go to work." You can't do it. But I'm glad that we got a God. Amen. That He'll let you know that your work ain't no good sometimes. My little 5-year-old son at the time, "Daddy, you know you need to have me in Sunday school, don't you?" "Yes, I do." Randy Jackson, Crafton Dover couldn't preach the message hard enough to get my attention as that right there. Come back in here, I prayed to God and made acknowledgments of church. But I'm going to tell you what, that Sunday on that morning, Randy Jackson could not still ask me to come and stand. Because I had to do some work. I had to do some work. Laborers are few. Don't depend on somebody else to do your job because they can't. I struggle within myself and tell myself I can't do as good a job as some of my elder preachers. I'll be honest, the devil tells me all that. But so what? Do it anyway. Yeah. I just tell you this, and I've said it before probably a long time ago. You ever complain to God? Yes, I have. You ever complain to God that I've been working, trying to do things that ain't working the way you? Yes, I have. Tell Him that everything's falling apart, everything ain't going down. Now, I don't know about you, but He just speaks straightforward Bruce talk to me. I don't know about you. But I sat in there complaining to Him one day. And Carrie, He just said this. He said, "Boo-hoo." You just going to sit there and cry, boo-hoo? Just sit there and cry. Or are you going to get up and get back to work? The Bible says this, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Not word for word, but that's what it says. Now, I'm grateful for some system that we got set up. Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of people that's being fed that ain't trying to work. But I'm going to tell you this. If you don't work for God, Randy can't hand feed you. And give you what you need in nourishment to help you grow and be better than help nobody. He can help you. Singing can help you. Testimonies can help you. But until you get up and labor for yourself in the name of the Lord, you'll not eat the goodness of the land. He says this in there. Choose you this day whom you serve. If you serving him, guess what? That means you're supposed to be working for him.
Yeah.
Laborers are few. Well, I know we all got technically different jobs in life and in church. And then the Bible says this right here too. About if you're doing something, I'll do it wholeheartedly. As unto the Lord. I told Crafton one day when we was working out there, I said, now I know why we ain't got too many good workers out there. Because they just don't work good for the Lord either. Now, we got some good men that works out there that probably don't darken the doors of the church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just trying to be mean and ugly to people. But God is looking for somebody to be laborers. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to take some agonizing nights.
Yeah.
It's going to take some heartaches. It's going to take some compassion, just like what he read here, that he had compassion on the people. And he told them to go out.
Yeah.
Because the laborers are few.
Yeah.
But he says this, pray ye therefore that of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. So if I can just get myself to be a good laborer and help teach somebody to be a good laborer, maybe they can teach somebody. It ain't just the fact of getting up and coming to church on Sunday morning. It's about working the work during the week. Miss Duncan over, she's passed away now over at Harmony Grove, but she used to sing a song. Working the road. Working the road. Because I'm going to tell you this. There's not a whole lot of things guaranteed in life. But I will guarantee you this. And I've said it before, but I guarantee it. As soon as you get home, you start praying for next week. Tomorrow when you wake up, then you go to bed, you pray for next Sunday. I mean, pray for everything in between. Don't get me wrong, but you pray for next Sunday. You get up with just a scripture on your mind. Read that scripture. Wake up with a song on your heart. Have you ever had a song on your heart and you sang all day and you just feel like the day just goes right on by? Guess what? God did that. That's what the song said. He does. He gives you something. So if you do all that, I guarantee you God will not fail to bless you next Sunday. Because you run a great chance, especially if you read all week on different or whatever places. What the preacher gets up here and says, turn this to that. And you said, hey, I read that this week. Guess what? There's an intrigueness inside of you. You know why? Because you worked. You worked. But the laborers are few. Robbie Chastain preached this message one time. He said, there's two kinds of people in the church. He said, you got participators and you got bystanders. He said, and most time the bystander is the one that's standing around complaining about the one participating. He said, so if we all get in there and participate, we won't have time to complain. There's no shame in laboring. There's no shame in it. Because I'm going to tell you this, lot of us, even with, I probably work harder at home just doing something than I do when I'm at work. Because I don't like just sitting there and not doing nothing. So let's not come to church and do nothing. God gave you a job. And your job's yours. And you can help the church. Or we can make her just move a little bit slower. So let's all get up, get in the Word, and let's be a laborer for God. Because the laborers are few.